Behold, the fields are white, it's harvest time.
With that familiar theme song, we're reminded it's time once again for the Harvest Time Gospel Broadcast. This is a daily broadcast with special emphasis on missions and world evangelization under the direction of Dr. Stennett Ballou of Resaca, Georgia. And now, here is Brother Ballou and today's broadcast.
Thank you and greetings, radio friends. What a joy and privilege it is to come to your place of listening and share together with you another Harvest Time broadcast. I praise the Lord for this open door, this heaven-bought privilege that our Lord allows us day after day to gather by the radio and study His precious Word together. I trust that if it's at all possible, you'll take the time out, get your Bible, and follow along with us as we open the Word of God together today. We're continuing our study on the subject, This Is What Christmas Means to Me. And we're taking the word Christmas and doing an acrostic study upon the word itself. You see, Christ is Christmas. I do not care what else good and enjoyable you may do or may happen to you during the holiday season. Christ Jesus is the reason for the season. And if you miss Him, you have missed the purpose of this time. You've missed the real reason for enjoying the season. So we started on Monday looking at several things about the uniqueness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm not going to take the time to review that today, but I want to progress on in our study. On yesterday, I began doing the acrostic, and we looked at the letter C, and I said to you that when I look at the letter C in the word Christmas, I am reminded of His condescension, His coming down from heaven. And I could not overemphasize the truth, though the intellectuals of this generation reject it. Our Lord Jesus Christ was alive before He was born. He had a birth, but He had no beginning. He was not just God's baby that God gave in Bethlehem. It was God's Son. He was God's Son before He was ever conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary. And so we saw His condescension as we looked on yesterday, His coming down from heaven. And I do not have the words to explain the virgin birth and how that God could separate Himself and manifest Himself in the three personalities and still be one. I do not understand how that God could be God the Father up in heaven, God the Son on the earth, and then God the Spirit inside you and I. I do not understand how God could do that, but I believe it because that's what the Scripture teaches. I remember reading in the book of John, chapter number 3, and in verse number 13, you're talking about blowing the mind of the scholars. Jesus said, "And no man hath ascended up into heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven." And He's standing right there on earth, speaking to them at the moment He said that. But yet He said, He is the Son of Man. He has descended from heaven, and He is now in heaven. Notice that again. "And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven." No, my friend, the miracle of God, I cannot understand it, but I don't have to understand it to believe it. And I cannot explain it, but I do not have to explain it to know that it's a real experience. But let me just mention this before I move on. You see, God the Father separates Himself, and then God the Father has God the Spirit take God the Son into a seed, and the Holy Ghost brings that seed from heaven to the womb of a virgin, to a woman who has never known a man and will never know a man until after this baby is born. For 9 months, that baby was there in the womb of that virgin by the name of Mary. And then at the appointed time, she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger. And there are many statements that I could make there, but from the scripture, the night that Jesus was born, the angel said to the shepherds who were keeping watch over the flock by night, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." So when I look at the letter C, I see him coming down from heaven. Him by way of Holy Ghost Express, transplanted from the bosom of the Father to the womb of the Virgin Mary. 9 months later, born as any other baby is born into this world. The virgin birth is not necessarily just a miraculous birth, but it was a miraculous conception, and far beyond the understanding of human intelligence. You see, the thing about God is that you do not put God in a test tube and explore him. And you do not put God in written words and explain him. But you accept God by faith, and you accept him at his word. Believe it, receive it, and be received of him. Reject it, deny it, and you will be rejected and denied by him one day after a while. But as I look at the true meaning of Christmas, may I say to you, it does not stop with his birth. No, the coming down from heaven, the birth, is just the beginning of something. That is one story that cannot be divided. It's the story of Christ. So I move today to the second letter in the word Christmas. I see the letter H. And when I look at the letter H, I see him hanging on the cross. Now somebody said, "Preacher, why bring up that sad story here in the time of Christmas celebration?" I want to say it again, friend. He was not born to live. He was born to die. The ultimate purpose of him leaving the bosom of the Father for the womb of the Virgin Mary was that one day he might be nailed to a cross, give himself completely as the sacrifice for sin forever, dying for the sin of the world, that you and I might be saved by the marvelous grace of God. So my mind switches from the scene in Bethlehem to the scene at Calvary, the hillside known as Golgotha. When I see the death of Christ and I see him hanging on the cross, I see him there in three different manners. And I want to deal with these, the Lord willing, on today's broadcast. May I say to you, first of all, I see him there as God's sacrifice. The Bible said in John chapter number 1, verse number 29, John the Baptist had the opportunity to introduce us to the Lord Jesus Christ, John being the forerunner of Christ. Down by Jordan one day, he's baptizing, and he lifts up his eyes and sees somebody coming. Seems very plain in the scripture, though they were cousins, that they had never met each other. John lifts up his eyes and sees Christ coming, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And so John introduces the Lord Jesus Christ as God's Lamb. Now listen to me carefully. A lamb is of no value as a sacrifice and taking away sin as long as that lamb is living. There is no mercy and grace manifested for sinners in the living lamb, just as it was down in the land of Egypt. In Exodus chapter number 12, the lamb must die. And so the Lord Jesus Christ is God's lamb. He is God's sacrifice. You remember back over in Genesis chapter 22, verse number 8, as Abraham and Isaac are headed for one of the mountains of Moriah to offer up a sacrifice. They have the wood and the fire, and Isaac notices this. And he said to his father, "We have the wood, we have the fire, but where is the lamb?" And Abraham said, God will provide himself a lamb. And my friend John the Baptist introduces that lamb to the world. And 33 years later, God's lamb is slain at Calvary. And as he hangs there, they pierce his side. And the blood runs out. And it's through that blood that you and I have remission and forgiveness of our sins. The Bible said in the book of John 1:29, behold the Lamb of God. And then the Bible said again in the book of Hebrews chapter number 9 and verse number 12, neither by the blood of bulls and goats, but by his own blood he entered in once, having obtained eternal redemption for us. The Bible said in Hebrews 9:22, and almost all things by the law are purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. So I see him hanging there as God's sacrifice. And then I see him hanging there as my substitute. For the best description of that that I know, I go back to the Old Testament. In the book of Isaiah, chapter number 53 and verse number 5, the Bible said that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace is upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. And then in Isaiah 53:6, the Bible said, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone into his own way. But the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquities of us all. So, my friend, we see him hanging there as God's sacrifice. We see him hanging there as our substitute. The Bible said in Romans chapter 5 and verse number 6, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. The Bible said in Romans chapter 5, verse number 8, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Bible said in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 3 and verse number 4, Christ died for our sins. The Bible said again in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 21, God made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He hangs there as God's sacrifice. He hangs there as our substitute. Then he hangs there as the Savior of the world. Oh, my friend, is he your Savior? He wants to be. He died that you might be saved and live forever. Receive him and be saved by the grace of God today. Father, take the word. Use it to your glory. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Behold, the fields are white. It's harvest time.
Well, I trust you enjoyed the broadcast today. I am grateful to the Lord for the radio stations that carry the broadcast, and I do trust that you will pray for them and support them as the Holy Spirit directs you to do so. As we approach the Christmas season, I want to wish all the personnel at each station and you, the listener, a very blessed Christmas and a healthy and happy and spiritually prosperous new year. And I trust that God will bless you. You'll have a wonderful time with your family and friends during the holiday season. Let me encourage you that as you do your Christmas giving, that you remember the Harvest Time broadcast. A letter from you at this time of the year would be such a blessing. And even if you could not send any support, it's always a joy and a blessing to receive Christmas cards. So take a moment and write to us and share with us in the financial burden. Simply address that letter to Harvest Time, 179 Promised Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. That's Harvest Time, 179 Promised Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. God bless you until the next broadcast.
I do not wait.